Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning in this beautiful day. I just got to shout it out, man. What a service so far, huh? Anytime that we get to spend time in the presence of the Lord, that's where I want to be, and I hope that's where you want to be. I try to look cooler than I am by doing hand gestures. There's no other place to be but in the presence of God. And I'm just so grateful. Every time that we begin, we're starting a new series today, pretty excited about it. And every time so far, without fail, that we feel like the Lord is telling us to do something in our sermon series, it's amazing how the service just starts orchestrating itself. Because today we're starting a series all around our identity in Christ. And so I was going to pray for some people at the end. I don't know if we'll do that because we did that. But I believe that God wants to continue to do things in our hearts this morning because it's such an important topic. So I'm just ecstatic for what God wants to do. Get your hearts ready. Be expectant because he wants to encounter us today. Before I get to the message, I just want to say a few things. I want to say thank you to this church body for praying this week for Stephen and Catherine McGuire. Stephen is hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, and they couldn't find him for a while, and he was hunkered down, and it was several days of no communication, and so I know that there was probably and Catherine, I can only imagine the fear, but she's such a prayer warrior, and she said, I'm going to get the body to pray, and thank you for praying for Stephen. He's doing good. He's got nothing going on. He had a little frostbite, and he is continuing to hike. God has put this on his heart to do, and I talked to him this week, and he is like, this little setback, I got a little cold, I got a few days resting, but he is so expectant for what God wants to do. So thank you for praying for him as he is just in this fun season of his life, hiking the trail. So thank you for praying. I do want to say, I saw on Facebook, I'm so excited, a young couple in our church got engaged this weekend. So Kyle and Rachel, congratulations. Pretty cool. If you don't know them, they're awesome. And what a great season for you guys. So congratulations. Are we good? Awesome. I'm going to stick with this one for a while because I want to use my hands this morning because I had a lot of coffee, so I can't sit still. I bounce a lot. Well, why do you bounce? Because I got a lot of energy. Not as much as I used to have, that's for sure. But like I said, I'm so excited that we get to kick off this series because this is probably, and I probably said that 3 months ago with the series we started, this is probably one of my favorite subjects to talk about. I should stop saying this is my favorite because I think as I get older, they're all my favorite. And so I don't want to be, no, this one's my favorite. But I think the topic of identity is so vitally important to our Christian life and our Christian walk. If we don't understand who we are, if we don't understand whose we are, and we are allowing other things to define that for us, we're not going to live a fully victorious Christian life. Because our Christian life hinges on the fact that we know who we are in Christ. We're only victorious as we walk in that new identity that Jesus has called us to walk in. So I'm so excited that we get to talk about being stamped by a father. That's the title of our series, Be Stamped by a Father. So the next month, we're going to be talking about different aspects of identity, and I'm believing that God is going to change our hearts. I was thinking about it this week, and I'm grateful that there's certain practices in the Old Testament that we don't practice today. And all of you said, me too. One of those practices that we see, not only in the Old Testament, but also in farming, was the topic of branding. I saw a video of this guy this week that wanted to get branded. Like hot, burning iron on bicep. But it was a cross, right? So it's, but this guy got branded, and I'm thinking, No, thank you. But branding is one of the early farming practices that farmers would practice with their cattle. And, those poor cows, ouch. But they branded for a number of reasons. My neighbor has a bunch of cows, and he doesn't brand his cows because he owns his own pasture. They branded the cows back then because there probably wasn't a lot of fences. There probably wasn't a lot of, like, my own pasture. It was like the cows are going to go where the cows are going to go. And the only way to identify, is that my cow? Is that your cow? Whose cow is that? Is by branding, wherever you want to brand. It was to brand them, to say, this cow belongs to X. Whatever the farmer's name was. Many times, the only way, unless you were like a rare cow connoisseur, that you could tell whose cows are whose was based on that brand, that ownership, that said this cow belongs to this person. So I was thinking about this idea of branding, and today it's really no different in humanity, this whole topic of branding. Because this morning, as I look at this group of people, most of you shop at the same store that I shop at. Sometimes we have those awkward moments where we can tell that we're wearing the same shirt, and we're like, oh, you must have bought that at Fred Meyer, or you must have bought that at Target, wherever you shop. Not too many people make their own clothes anymore. If you do, good for you. But we shop at the same place. So if I look at the group of people that I'm looking at this morning, it is hard for me to tell anything about you by what you're wearing, because we all shop at the same place. But just like the example of the farming, the value of the cow had everything to do with who owned the cow. Okay, the value was based on where that cow gets its identity or gets its ownership from. And the same is true for us today, that our value is based on where we find identity and where we find our identity in. Okay, it has everything to do with the source to where we get our values, where we get our worth, where we get our identity from. So when Steve today talks about identity, I say, okay, God, obviously he wants to make it clear in our hearts, because the body of Christ, the church, needs to understand that our value comes from a good father. He comes from a good father. The Bible, I'm going to tell you today, I want to start with who you are, and then we're going to go down the line. But in Ephesians 2, verses 10, this is what the Bible says that you are in Christ. Okay, you can turn in your Bible to Ephesians 2:10, and it says this. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Okay, so you are God's handiwork. Another word for handiwork is the word masterpiece. If you read the same scripture, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version, but it says this, the Amplified, same scripture. It says, for you are God's workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works, which God has already prepared for you beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you. So this morning, you are God's masterpiece. This morning, you are God's handiwork. And I realize, just as Steve said earlier, that when I say those words this morning, in your mind, you said, no, I'm not. I'm not God's masterpiece, but my neighbor might be. Right? Immediately we hear that and we say, well, no, I've got flaws. I'm this, I'm that. The problem is we don't see ourselves how the
Our owner, our Jesus, our God sees us, right? We have these lies and these doubts that come in our head and say, oh no, that's for your neighbor. It's your neighbor's God's handiwork, not you. Okay, the reality is this morning, when we talk about your personal identity, is a lot of our personal identity is shaped by how we were raised. A lot of our personal identity has been affected by the environment that we're comfortable with, the environment that we were raised in, the environment that has shaped us. And so we base our value off of the environment. So the problem is, when you go through hard things when you're younger and things happen to you, many of you that maybe if you were rejected or abused, those things want to try to define you for the rest of your life. And they want to say, hey, you are not a child of God. You were rejected. Maybe if you were adopted, the enemy would like to say, no, your biological family gave you up, and so you're rejected. You're secondhand goods. Maybe if I, God forbid, that something terrible has happened to you, I pray that it hasn't, but many times when people go through hard things like abuse, molestation, they take on the identity of used goods. And they believe the lie that they are defined by what has happened to them. Now, I'm just cutting to the chase today. Not a lot of jokes, because I believe this topic is so important for us. The truth is still the same this morning, that your worth is determined by what gives you value. Your worth is determined by what gives you value. And the truth this morning is that God has created each of you to be valuable in his eyes. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 1 through 21. We're going to be talking about this scripture the next 2 weeks. I'm going to read it pretty fast this morning, and I encourage you to read it this week. But it says this in Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no place for filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. Okay, we get the point. Which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving, for you can be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who covet has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at what one time you were in darkness, but now you are light, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that has become visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but wise, making the best of the use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, and I'm going to insert, or whiskey, or tequila, or whatever you would like to substitute in there, for this is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow. Okay, there's a lot. We could probably spend a year in those 21 scriptures. But a lot of those scriptures has to do with who we are. I hope when you read it, you begin to think about identity. You begin to think about your life. But I really want to look at it this morning in the context of value. Because this list has everything to do with the things that you value in your life and the things that you value in your heart. You know, husbands, you know, guys, I'll pick on myself for a little bit, and I might pick on you a little bit. But anytime my wife and I have a talk, a marriage talk, which we don't just have marriage talks when, like, you know, things are like in emergency mode and crisis mode. Very often we'll have talks and we'll say, hey, how's it going? How you feeling? How you doing? How am I doing? And whenever we talk, I just say, can you just give me a list, honey? Guys, anyone do that? We're like, just tell me what I need to do. Oh, if she doesn't feel valued by me, I'm just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. Just make it simple for me and tell me what flowers you like. And if I could just check these things off, then, And guys, I hope I'm not alone in that. And you're laughing, so that's good. That means either you're laughing at me or with me. Hopefully it's with me. But I would love just to be, can I just know what it is? And if I look at the scripture, I'm tempted to look at it for just a list. Okay, but we can't just look at this stuff as a list, but we need to look at this stuff as that a lot of these things are major identifiers that want to put a mark on our life. Okay, a lot of these things that are on the do not list that we just read, if I look at humanity, these things on the do not list are the very things that I would say humanity struggles with. Because they have everything to do with identity. They have everything to do with where you get value. Think about it. And you're like, but I don't remember the list. Don't worry. We're going to go there. The first one is immorality. Okay, the Bible calls it sexual immorality. Okay, has everything to do with the sexual desires that are inside of us. And thank the Lord that He created us with the desire to be attracted to our spouses. Okay, we've got to understand that sex is a good thing. Okay, it's a godly thing in the confines of marriage. I know, it got really awkward. Just be glad you're not my wife. And she's like, oh, no. Okay, but it is a good, where are you going? Don't worry, honey. But it is a good thing. But sexual immorality, I want to say this morning. You don't need to have a Greek degree to understand what sexual immorality is. Well, Pastor Justin, I'm not really sure what you mean by that. I don't know the Greek and the Hebrew so much. When you start talking about immorality, listen, it doesn't matter that we're not in the 1900s anymore. Okay, I've heard that conversation. Well, I know a lot of things weren't acceptable in 1908. Well, it's 2018, so just things have changed. No, sexual immorality is still sexual immorality. It may look different. It may be, you know, we put everything on it and we spice it up. It is still sexual immorality. Period. You can call it what you want. You can redefine it. But at the end of the day, it is sexual immorality.
Again, this is a little awkward, but so I like to make things fun. You know, Pastor Justin, I don't know. You know, I don't know the Greek and Hebrew. Pastor Justin, I'm not really sure what that means. But what if we're going to get married someday and we just need to make sure that, you know, the plumbing's going to work and everything? And I'm going to tell you right now, it'll work. Well, Pastor Justin, what if, you know, I really think she's the one? Well, then trust the Lord for the timing. And God will work it out if it's His will in your life. Well, Pastor Justin, what if she's really pretty? And, you know, or she's really hot?
Hell is going to be really hot. So start thinking good thoughts. I'm being real this morning.
And funny. Because I'm hot too. I'm not like, I'm just going to stop. We're going to move on.
right? Because the Bible says to not even think lustful thoughts because you've already committed the sin in your heart. And the Bible says to flee those things. And if I look at our culture, and especially I look at the culture of young men, and I taught football for high school for like 7 years, and one of the things I did is I talked about false identity, and men identify who they are with their sexual abilities, their conquests, the things that they've accomplished in their life sexually. And it says that they actually take that on as part of their identity in who they are. Yeah. And I look at our society, and even, I mean, even if you're as pure as the whitest snow, you are in a society where sex and sexuality is in front of you, behind you, all around you. I can't even let my kids play little kids' games on my phone because the ads that come up are all about sexuality. It is inundating who we are as a culture. And the Bible says to flee those thoughts of sexual immorality. You know, I look at the brokenness that this topic has caused in so many young people and not young people. I've seen 55-year-old men that still are acting like they're 17-year-old high schoolers because their identity is wrapped in sexual immorality. And they're lost, they're broken, and they're confused, and they're trying to continue to find value in that aspect of their life when God has not called them to find value in that aspect. Let's move on. And all of you went, amen. So did I. The second thing that I believe where we miss it is we try to find our identity in this word covet. Okay, we don't use this word covet anymore. But to covet means when you see when you see something and the desires go to an unhealthy place. Okay, and in our day and age, I would say the word covet could really be replaced with how good of a job we are at marketing and advertising things today. Because I could be driving my 13-year-old pickup truck feeling like the coolest 37-year-old in Maple Valley. And then you drive up to me in your brand new pickup truck, and all of a sudden I start going, I think I need a new truck. I could be totally content in the house that God has blessed us with until I go into someone's house that is just a little bit nicer, and I start to go, well, maybe we need to move, right? Maybe we need to get something bigger, because I look at these things and I say, well, man, I begin to wrap my identity in these things. I just want to tell you today, if you have nice things, good for you, right? God has blessed you, but our identity can't be wrapped up in how much money we make. If you make a lot of zeros, good on you, right? That's great, but that is not where your identity is from. Okay, your identity does not come from the degree you have or don't have. Your identity does not come with the job title that you have at your work. But our society has placed false value on this whole topic of how much we have, what we do for a living. And if we do that, we will get stuck in a comparison trap that is nothing we have is ever good enough. When you're in a comparison trap, you will not be grateful for the things that God's given you, but you will continue to just be on this wheel of, it's not good enough, God, and I got to have something more. Yeah. Father, help us. Your job, man, was never meant to give you any identity. It's a means for you to provide for your family and advance God's kingdom. Okay, this next one, as we're going down the list, you know, it's crude humor. You know, and a lot of you, and even myself, I can say, well, I'm not very crude in my humor. Or maybe sometimes I am. But I was thinking about, because this is probably one that over the years that I've struggled with the most. Because when I get into the room, one of the gifts God's given me is the ability to make people laugh. And I love to laugh. The proverb says it's like good medicine.
But as a younger man, I would find my identity with how funny I could be in crowds, with how much I could push the line and be sarcastic and just kind of, you know, create lots of awkward moments. And I think it's this whole thing that happens in us when we get into rooms and we say, man, I want others to like me. I want others to think I'm funny. I want others to think I'm the life of the party. And so I'm going to push the envelope on these various things so that they see me as the funny guy. And it's a gift. I look at guys who can make people laugh, and I'm grateful for those. But our value does not come from how we are in social settings. That's a gift, but that's not our value. Okay, let's continue. The Bible, in the scripture we read, it talks about sinful behavior. I believe a lot of people have found their value in their sinful behavior. Okay, whether it's something that is done or maybe as a result of something that has been done to them and then they are now participating in sinful behavior. Okay, the Bible says it doesn't say to not be associated with sinners. Okay, Jesus hung out with sinners all the time, but it says do not participate in sinful behavior. Right, so we're called to love. We're called to influence. We're called, like some of my favorite relationships right now are the relationships I have with people that don't know Jesus. And I have a lot of them right now. Why do I like it so much? Because it gives me an opportunity to look different and to influence. It doesn't mean I don't hang out with those people because they're sinners. They might get me dirty. No, they're not going to get me dirty unless I participate in the sin. Okay, so sinful behavior, I think a lot of people identify even with their past, with the things they've done. Steve talked about it this morning, which doesn't allow us to get back up when we fall because we begin to identify with those behaviors. Okay, the Bible goes on. We read it, works of darkness. That's your next one. Well, what is works of darkness? Because I believe a lot of the things that's done in secret are the things that identify us the most. Think about it. The things that you haven't told anyone about, those are the things that are constantly keeping you down, that are constantly beating you up with condemnation, that are constantly piling the shame bucket on, saying, because you did this, it's secret, you're never going to break free of it, so just give in and don't tell anyone. Yeah, I know, we're going for it this morning. Character is what... D.L. Moody said this character is what is done in the dark. The secret things, the hidden things. The places in our lives that no one knows about. Luke 8:17 says this, for all that's done in secret will eventually be brought to light. And everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. I would say this morning, if you have struggle in your life with secret sin, I would say don't allow that enemy to just make you believe that you have to keep it quiet. But to find someone where you can shine light on that area in your life and so you can get some help from someone that has been there before. Because that's the number one thing with secret sin is to keep it secret so it can continue to have its power over your life. The last thing that I want to talk about for this part this morning is it talks about drunkenness. And again, I don't know in this room if there's anyone that really struggles with alcohol, probably. But it's the whole idea of identity by self-medicating. I'm going to find my identity in the world does it in the nightlife, in the social life, in releasing any... escaping any reality with a drug, with a pill, with alcohol. Come on, you look at our society, and I look at the my generation and below, and there's a whole identity around the nightlife. And it's stolen lives, it's twisted things, and it's twisted God in people's minds. I'm only...
I'm only halfway done this morning with my notes, and we focused on some pretty hard things. But I feel like I'm going to probably stop, because I feel like there's a lot of things that the enemy, that society has tried to say, you need to be identified by these things. And I just went over like 5 or 6 from the scripture. And this morning, again, even if you're pure and all these things that we talked about, I believe that the culture we live in is trying to inundate us and trying to say, no, it really does matter what those people think about you. So be crude. So be funny. You know, I know Pastor Justin said, you know, the amount of dollars you make don't define you, but society would say it does. And if we're going to know who we are, we need to get rid of the false identities that want to keep us bound to temporal things. Amen? We need to get rid of those false identities before we can even begin to step in our true identity as a son or daughter of God. You know, the Bible tells us to, in the same scripture we read, okay, if we're not supposed to be defined by those things, then what are we supposed to be defined by? Right? We're supposed to be defined by walking in love. Okay, don't be defined by self-medicating. Be defined by walking in love. You want to be defined by something good, then imitate God. Imitate God in your life. Become God-focused, and you will find your true identity. You want to be identified correctly and not identified by the temporal things, then as 1 John 1:7 says, then walk as children of the light. That means, hey, it doesn't mean there's not dark things. It just means the dark things have gotten light shined on them. They can't be dark anymore. You want to be rightly identified in who you are? Then focus on what would please God. Again, out of our scripture. Right? It's similar to imitating God. But I think a lot of times as Christians, instead of saying, God, what's going to please you? We say, God, this would please me. Would you please make it happen now? You know what I'm talking about? The prayers we pray. God, I really want this to happen, so I'm going to pray into it. But the flip side is, God, what would please you in my life? Because you find the things that please the heart of God, and you're going to find who you are. The Bible says in Ephesians to walk as wise. Listen, there is sin and there is folly, foolishness. Right? I've done a lot of foolish things in my day that aren't sin. A lot of them. Could tell you stories later. But the Bible says to walk as wise. I think it's talking about those practical things in our life. Well, I love football. I love sports, and that's okay. But it can get to a place in my life where it's not wise anymore, because it starts to distract me from the wise things in my life. I love to hunt, and that's great. But I'm not going to get to a place where it becomes unwise for me. In Ephesians 5, it says to make the most of our time. You want to be walking your identity? Then make the most of the time that God's given you. Because I know there's a lot of things that want to steal our time, right? And I could probably go on and talk about this thing in my hand. I'm grateful for this thing in my hand, but I can't read my Bible anymore from this thing on my hand, because my Bible reading turns into, I don't know, what's on Craigslist today? What can I buy today? Oh, wonder what someone's making for dinner. I got to check that out. I got to see what they posted on Facebook. Some of you eat really good. But making the most of our time. Had a couple conversations this week. Actually, it was really interesting. 3 or 4 we were talking about, and yesterday we were at a wedding,
And they were talking about traditionally in young men that it's not till almost 30 years old before they've really settled down and they're ready to act like a man. And I thought, why is that? Probably a lot of reasons. That's another sermon. But I think a lot of it is because we don't make the most of the time that we have.
It says this in Ephesians 5, it says, to be filled with the Spirit of God. We want to walk in our identity, that I would encourage us today to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because when you're filled with God's Spirit, again, you're going to be doing God's purposes, and you're going to find out why you were created for such a time as this. I love that word, to be filled, because it's a sailing term. I may be wearing sailing shoes this morning, but I'm not a sailor. Okay, it's a sailing term. It has nothing to do with whether the wind is blowing or not. It has everything to do with whether your sails are up. Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. The Holy Spirit wants to invade my life and wants to invade your life. And it's a matter of, am I positioned to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Oh, it's not, well, God, where are you? No, he's there. Am I positioning myself? Would you stand up with me this morning? I've got like four more, but I want to respond to the Lord. And here's how we're going to respond today. I want, you can close your eyes. We're going to dismiss here, but I don't want to miss an opportunity. Because the Lord is having us on a journey to understand who we are. And so I think for some of us, there may be things that you've identified in your life. Maybe things I talked about. Maybe the sexual immorality. Maybe the coveting. Maybe you put so much value on work and who you are and how much you're making, and that's defined you. Right? Maybe it's the humor thing. I don't know. But here's what I want to do. Just in God's presence, I'm just going to pray for us. But I want to pray, lead us in. If there's areas that you just need to lay before the Lord and repent of, I want you to do that this morning. If there's lies you believe because of sin this morning, God wants to break those lies, and he wants to heal you this morning. So some of you might repent. Some of you, God might heal this morning. And some of you might just to hear the truth of who God says you are this morning. And then we're going to sing this chorus. But pray with me. Here, come on, if you need to lift your hands as a sign of surrender, then I encourage you to do that. But let's do business with God this morning. So, Father, right now, I thank you, Father, for who you've created us to be. Father, that you've created us your masterpiece, that you've created us your handiwork, that you've created us unique and special for such a time as this. Father, that you've created us special. Father, this morning I break any lie that would be repeated in people's minds that says, I'm not God's handiwork. Father, we repent of those thoughts today. Father, I ask that you would speak truth into our hearts today. Father, I look at these six areas that we talked about where us and our society has tried to put false identity on sexuality, on humor, on the status of work and how much money we make. Father, forgive us for attaching false identity to temporal things. Father, that those are all great things, and I thank you for those things. But Father, I pray that we would know who you've created us to be. Father, that we would find our identity from being filled with your Spirit. Father, that we would find our identity from doing things that please you. That we would find our identity from being centered around your purposes, oh God. Father, today we repent. If there's unhealthy mindsets, Father, we repent of those things. Father, if there's lies we believe, we repent of those things. Father, today, this week, Father, would you continue to cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts. Father, if there's things that are being done in secret and the enemy has a hold on us because of what's being done in secret, Father, would you shine your light upon those areas in our life? Father, we want to walk in who you've called us to be. I'm going to have Steve and the worship team, I'm just going to have them sing, and we're going to be done, but I don't want to miss this opportunity because I believe God wants to continue to touch people's hearts. Because we've got to get this right. We've got to get the identity thing right. And part of getting it right means to stop identifying with false things. So would you just sing, Steve? And you guys can respond however you want. We're just going to sing this chorus a couple times, and then we'll dismiss. But would you sing, if you need to go, you know, obviously you can go, but I don't want to miss. Let's go. Let's sing.
Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Who the Son?
Oh, who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I
go being identified by who he says we are and getting rid of those things that want to define us. If you want prayer this morning as we dismiss, I just want to encourage you. We'd love to pray over you for this or for anything. But if there's things that you want just someone to pray for, we want to see God be victorious in your life today. We want to make time for that. So we're going to dismiss, but I encourage you, be here next week, this month, because we're going to be hammering down identity. And I'm believing that there's going to be, whenever there's a realization of who we are, there's just an explosion of promise, of dreams, and of incredible things. So you're released to go. But if you want prayer, I just want to invite you to come up. God bless you. Lots to sign up for on the back table. We'll see you next time.